So I guess the first thing I'd like to say around our next topic, the board was really, I certainly can say this for myself, was really looking forward to honoring the award recipients for our Forest Practice Operator of the Year awards to meet those people as we usually do in person, which brings the reality of the timber world out there right into the room with us, and I always think it's a great time. This year, of course, due to current conditions, both COVID and weather, we can't do that, and could not ask you all to travel in, and so this really limits our ability to truly celebrate this event. And I'm sorry that we are in this circumstance. But let's go ahead and recognize our operators of the year. These people have set an industry example by consistently going above and beyond the requirements of the Forest Practice Act. Here to present on this topic is Mr. Swearingen. Are you ready, Scott?
Yes, hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. Good morning, Chair Kelly, members of the board, and State Forester Mukamoto. I'm Scott Swearingen. I'm the Forest Resources Division's Field Support Unit Manager. We're going to start the staff presentation detailing the Operator of the Year Award Program and the award recipients' work. Unfortunately, as Chair Kelly mentioned, due to the COVID restrictions and protecting everybody's safety, this year's plaque presentation has been modified with hopes we'll return to in-person ceremonies next year. This year, the plaques were delivered to the winners in December with some photos taken at that time. So we'll call the winner's name and show several of those photos towards the end with each winner and their award.
Okay.
I think Mike Thompson was up. Is he on there? I see Mike, but I'm not hearing.
Mr. Thompson, we can hear and see you. Mr. Swearingen, would you like us to take a 5-minute break and then we can get Mike settled and reconvene?
Yeah, if we could do that, that'd be great.
Okay, Chair Kelly and members of the board, as your board minister, do you mind if we take a 5-minute break and rejoin at 11:28?
Okay, that sounds great. 11:28 it is.
Thank you so much. All right, y'all stand by for a few minutes and we'll reconvene. I believe Chair Kelly and members of the board are ready to proceed.
Okay, let's get started back where we were.
Great, sorry for the delay. Technical difficulties. Good morning, Chair Kelly, members of the board, and State Forester Mukamoto. I'm Mike Thompson, Stewardship Forester, serving the North Cascade District down in Malala. This morning, we'll first review the Operator of the Year Operator Recognition Program. Then we'll play the videos capturing the work done by the 2021 Operators of the Year. To conclude, we'll invite you to recognize the operators for their excellent work. Now let's take a look at the recognition program goals, which are 1, to recognize operators who consistently and voluntarily perform above the Oregon Forest Practice Act minimum requirements, and 2, to improve the understanding of the Forest Practice Act, its administration, and its effectiveness in protecting natural resources. These are derived from the Oregon Revised Statutes and in the Forestry Program of Oregon under Goal D. ORS 527.630 states the Oregon Forest Practice Act policy and Goal D strives to protect and improve the physical and biological quality of soil and water resources of Oregon's forests through the administration of the Forest Practice Act. The department's efforts to honor the work that exceeds in a good way natural resource protection requirements includes recognizing excellent performance at three levels. First, the department and board may recognize operators of the year for each region, Eastern, Northwest, and Southwest. The board typically relies on the regional forest practices committees with assistance from Forest Resource Division staff and stewardship foresters to review the operator of the year nominations. Second, the regional committees may grant merit awards to recognize an operator's outstanding work, but only if the operator was nominated for the operator of the year award. Third, commendation letters provide local recognition for high quality work. Operators may be nominated by anyone, but typically stewardship foresters, various logging association members, industry members, landowners, and community leaders nominate operators they see doing an exemplary job, like Gary Mendenhall of Seneca Jones Timber Company, stewardship foresters Brett Nixon, Kirk Oslin, and myself. The operators are selected based off of five criteria, which are consistency. The committee assesses whether the operator has a history of performing above the Forest Practice Act minimum requirements. Difficulty, did the operation include streams, lakes, or rivers, challenging topography, or critical habitat? Essentially, was this an atypical harvest that required particular care or skill to be successful? Innovation and extra effort. The committee asks whether the operator implemented a new technology or strategy in its operation, or did the operator exert extra caution and effort to ensure it both complied with and performed above the Forest Practice Act minimum requirements. Results. The committees and department staff assess whether the nominees achieve the intent Forest Practices Act seeks and the results you ask the department to achieve through the rules and your leadership. And the financial risk to the operator. The nominees are also graded on whether, in addition to their business risk, they took on additional financial risk to achieve exemplary results. The Regional Forest Practices Committee members select the operators of the year by either touring sites or reviewing videos that capture the operations and reviewing the nomination applications. They then deliberate as a committee to select the operator of the year and name any merit award recipients. After the recipients are selected, the department works with various outlets to achieve the second goal, educating the people about the Forest Practices Act and how it works. The department recognizes operators of the year at the Associated Oregon Loggers and Oregon Small Woodlands Association annual meetings, the Oregon Logging Conference, and through media coverage and using the various ODF venues, like including print and social media. Before we look at the 2021 operators of the year, we would like to share with you the 2021 Merit Award recipients. The Merit Award recipients for 2021 are from Southwest Oregon Region, Laylock Inc. of Coquille. And from the Eastern Oregon Region, we have Sisters Forest Products of Sisters. From Northwest Oregon Region, we have three recipients, F&B Logging of Warrenton, Marshall Logging of Tillamook, and Pacific Forest Contractors of Eagle Creek. Chair Kelly, members of the board, before we turn to the videos that highlight the operator's work, I would like to thank Jim Gershbach, ODF Public Affairs Specialist, for his stellar work preparing these videos. Before we show the videos, are there any questions we can answer about the recognition program?
Board members, any questions at this point about the recognition program?
Okay.
I'm not hearing any, but I have one. I was looking at your criteria. What about employee safety? How does that factor into this award program?
Well, I think, you know, excellent safety record is definitely something that we might consider, but not something I'm real familiar with. But I think we look at the innovation and ways that, you know, operators are conducting their operations in order to ensure resource protection, but also, you know, other ways that they may conduct their logging to reduce hazards to their employees out there doing the hard work. I don't know if Scott Swearingen wants to speak to that at all.
So thanks, Mike. I think you covered it pretty well. I think that kind of falls in that innovation and extra effort piece there. There's anything specific about, you know, the safety aspects within the award, but I mean, it factors in everything that we look at. So,
obviously. Yeah, great. Thank you. Go ahead.
All right, now let's look at the 2021 Operators of the Year. The Eastern Oregon Region Operator of the Year, H Timber Contracting of Hines, earned the award for protecting a fish-bearing stream flowing through the middle of a timber stand being harvested near John Bay. With no road access to the east bank, Tony Hoth installed two temporary crossings using a 36-inch diameter culvert and logs to crib the creek. Timber from the east side of the stream was felled, yarded, and then swung with a log loader across the stream to minimize any impacts to the stream and riparian vegetation. Access on the west bank required reconstruction of an old dirt road adjacent to the stream. Large rocks and several logs were also used to armor the bank to prevent sediment from entering the stream. All streamside vegetation was protected from damage through the course of the harvest. Now watch the video.
I had a good friend that was a logger, and his dad is actually who hired me right out of high school. And from there, I just stayed with it.
I work a lot with H Timber and trust them. They do an excellent job, has respect for the land. Well, this particular job here, the landowners hired me to oversee the logging and mark the timber on this, and of course for forest health, you know, try to take out all the diseased and crooked trees and leave a good stand of timber when we're done.
The benefits of commercial thinning, not taking all the trees out, just a select few, is it opens up the forest, you get more grasses coming in, you get more native brush, and it's just a benefit. It's a win-win situation for the environment here in Eastern Oregon.
This is probably one of the most difficult jobs that I've worked with an operator on, just because of the terrain.
So topography definitely adds a lot of challenge to this, because the creek is in the bottom, which is a fish-bearing stream called Laycock Creek. And topography, obviously, when you're working in a canyon like this, things want to roll downhill. So the biggest challenge is to keep sediment and other materials out of that fish-bearing stream. And that's what we've been working on with the operator, and he's just been doing a really good job.
Well, the biggest challenge was getting the road down in here to get the logging trucks out of here and through the rocks. And then other challenges was, of course, the fish-bearing stream, just very tight quarters to work in, having to bring logs across the stream without doing any damage.
Kind of overwhelming trying to come up with a good plan on it.
The timber on this job is on both sides of the creek. So basically the stream flows right through the middle of the logging job. So that's what is really making it challenging, is to get the wood across from one side of the creek to the other, because the haul road is on one side of the creek, obviously, and there's no way to haul off the east side of this job. So everything on the east side of Laycock Creek has to come across the creek. And the operator actually came up with an idea that he would shovel log that wood across the creek. So what that means is they were going to process everything on one side of the creek, and rather than skidding it across the creek, across that crossing, to lessen damage and impact to the stream, they're going to use a piece of equipment called a shovel and swing those big logs across the creek.
So we decided there to throw in a 36-inch culvert for the fish, trip it all up with logs, and then the processor is actually going to sit on one side, process so the brush stays on that side, and then pass the logs across our log crossing to the log loader. Worried first about the cutting. Some of these trees are big enough that if they're leaning that direction, they're hard to keep off that creek. But we got a good faller in here, and we do everything we can to keep them out of there.
His timber faller does an excellent job.
Levi, our faller, he's going out ahead of us, and he's getting about two-thirds of the trees that he can get a good lay on. And then once we get those cleaned up, get them out of the way, and then we can go back and work on the more challenging trees that need pushed or jacked and are wedged, and to keep them out of the drainages.
The skidder operator's very careful not to scar any trees, any leaf trees. You know, he goes above and beyond, out of his way to pull a tree around, to go around a tree, not to scar it.
The operator's got to take his time, and the faller has been bucking most of it, so you're not pulling 70, 80 feet of tree behind you. You're only pulling 30 to 40 feet of tree. And that helps it snake it through and get it out around the trees we want to leave and protect.
The landowner's main concern here was fire. And as dense as this is, and thick, hard access, the difficulties getting in and out of here, he wanted it open up to where the fire risk was lower and thinned out. And of course, you know, both deals, you thin it, you get better, you know, growth on your timber and less chance of disease.
In the back of his mind, he's thinking, I need to leave this in better condition than when I started, so that there is a resource for future generations.
As a fisherman, I mean, we want to do our part out here to protect it. And also, we don't want logging to end up with a bad name. We want to see it. We want to see more of it. More logging, less fire.
The forest, you know, as a result of this operation, is going to be left in a better place.
Well, once we pull the crossings out and rehab everything, I'd like to say it's going to be better than it was.
All right. Next, we'll take a look at the Southwest Oregon Region winner, Plickett Logging of Winston. Plickett earned the award for its diligent planning and harvesting. The firm took on a difficult operation on a unit in Douglas County that bordered a busy state highway and had two different utility power lines running through it, as well as a fish-bearing stream and wetlands. Excellent communication and coordination with utilities during the logging prevented any damage to the power lines and avoided disruptions to power customers. Thoughtful selection of access roads and logging during nighttime hours also avoided traffic delays on the bordering highway. Felling parallel to the stream and choosing landing sites carefully also helped preserve the buffer zone, protecting the stream and the wetlands. Now watch their video.
My dad started logging right out of high school. Was working with a bunch of his friends, and after, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, decided that if he was going to work that hard, he was going to do it for himself and start his own business.
Wally Plickett is the local contractor around Douglas County here, and I've fortunately been able to watch him grow as a company. I worked for another timberland owner that had company logging sites, and he worked for them as well. And I got to watch his company start from little and to get to where it is today. Wally's just a stand-up guy and easy to talk to.
So that Shields Creek unit, I knew right off the bat when it was notified for that this would be a challenging unit, for the fact that just the resource protection issues with the fish stream in the bottom, you have a state highway to deal with. Also, not only are they high tension power lines, but then there's also utility power lines that cross-sect in the middle of the unit. So just the complexity of that, very rarely do you have a logging operation that you're going to have all those factors of power lines, two different power lines going in two different directions, the state highway, being able to get trucks on and off safely, not only, and then dropping those trees close enough to the highway.
We had three goals that we set for Wally in this challenging unit that we had public safety we had to be concerned with, we had Forest Practices Act we had to be concerned with, and then we also had a couple sets of power lines running through the middle of the unit that he had to contend with. So he met all those goals and went above and beyond to make sure that that was accomplished, and did a very good job doing it.
That unit actually fell on two sides of a ravine, and so you had the fish protections that needed to take place in the bottom. So you had buffers on either side of those, so it's a 50-foot buffer on both sides, and he was able to not only effectively work on both sides with keeping the integrity of the buffer intact, but they were having to hang over the buffer as well and didn't have any impact through that buffer either.
He was able to get the same parallel the buffer with both the ground equipment and the yarder, so it worked out pretty good for him that he didn't have to string across most fish streams that you usually do that are in the middle of a unit. So the landings worked out good, and he chose the landings.
There were some lower lying wetlands that also needed to be protected and not disturbed. I found that there was literally no disturbance almost anywhere near, almost like they hadn't even been in there.
The unit laid pretty close to the right of way of Highway 42, and Wally took extra measures to sign it for one thing for the public safety, and then we had a plan that he executed to divert traffic so that it wasn't necessarily coming out into a T. We kind of built a spur so that he could kind of merge with the traffic to make it a lot safer.
There was some trees that were pretty close to the highway, and rather than put flaggers on the highway and stop traffic, we did a lot of cutting at night.
So just that coordination with not only the logging operation right next to the highway, but then that daily communication twice a day with the power company saying, okay, we're starting now we're completed. Just that overall communication, that overall collaboration between the two, or really the three, the state highway, the power company, and the Pliga logging was something I've never seen before.
There was potential for the trees to fall on the power lines as we were cutting them. We had Douglas Electric, who has the right of way for the power there. They were in communication with us every morning and every night. They would turn the power off if we needed it off, if we had a hazard tree that we were just really concerned about. They would shut it off briefly, and we would remove the tree, and then they would get it right back on.
The Forest Practices Act protects also soil disturbance. And on the unit, there was roads that were going to have to be put in and then also decommissioned afterwards, and making sure that those were water barred properly afterward. With Shields Creek being in the bottom, we wanted to ensure that there wasn't going to be any sediment delivery to a fish-bearing stream or to any of those protected wetlands. And the post-logging operation, the post-logging work that they did an excellent job at making sure that there wasn't going to be sediment delivery to the streams.
He had an excavator that he brought in to open the roads up, and then that excavator also came back and tore the roads apart and contoured the ground pretty close to similar to what it was before you touched it.
I can't say enough about the people that we have working for us. They don't need a lot of babysitting. They show up, they do their job. If they do turn the tracks and make a berm, it's their instinct to fix that. They'll smooth it out, put a little brush on it, whatever they need to do to make it so that it is plantable. And we don't have big berms where water's going to build up and sit for any period of time. We try to pile all our slash nicely, nice high and tight piles. That's what the landowners like, because they burn nice and clean.
The cleanup that they've done on the ground, the vegetation that was left, it looks the way it should.
We like a job to look as good as possibly can when we leave.
I call him a magician. He's really good at devising a plan, and he's really good at executing. He has really good people that work for him. They're all conscious, real easy to work with, and I think he looks at it like it's his ground, and he wants it to look nice and be able to reproduce trees.
I wasn't even the one that logged it, but I'm still proud of it when I drive by it.
All right. Finally, we'll take a look at the Northwest Oregon region's winners, work done by All Around Logging of Staten. The company earned the award for owner Aaron Silvernagle's work helping numerous small landowners devastated by the Beechey Creek fire. Aaron helped landowners assess what timber could be salvaged after the fire, which in September 2020 burned a total of 193,000 acres in eastern Marion and Linn counties. Silvernagle worked tirelessly to remove hazard trees and selectively harvest burned timber near the Little North Fork Sandyam River while avoiding multiple obstacles in dealing with the log marketing challenges of selling burned timber. He then worked with North Sandyam Watershed Council and Marion County Soil and Water Conservation District to find native seedlings to help reforest burned areas up and down the Sandyam Canyon.
Taylor Park is a summer recreation campground. My great-great-grandfather moved onto it and actually moved onto it in 1868. And we've been here, our family's been here ever since. The night of the Beechey Creek fire, in the late afternoon, we weren't aware that there was a fire approaching us.
We're watching the smoke from the fires. And then 1:30, I got a call and said, go get Mom. The fire has jumped out and it's coming down the canyon.
We got called about 45 minutes before the fire hit here that informed us that we better get out or we were going to be crispy critters. So we loaded up and we left here in a rush.
I seen a whole bunch of cars going by, so I thought, all right, it's pretty serious. So I jumped in a pickup, went down, got Mom, and then started figuring out what was going on.
When we came back, it reminded me of a napalm strike in Vietnam.
Then I started getting calls for people that got to go back in, and they had hazard trees around their house they would have liked to have gotten removed because they were burning inside yet, and they didn't want them to fall over on the house.
As things cooled off and everybody got access back into the area, the first guy that contacted me was Aaron Silvernagle.
We go through every couple of years and salvage trees around all the campsites, and that's why another reason he had me in there.
The 7th is when the fire took place. On the 28th of September, my wife passed away. When she went through and saw the damage that had been occurred because of that fire, it broke her heart.
The fire probably did about a 95% damage to the park area.
Aaron gave me some time, a little bit of time, to come to grips with that.
He didn't know what he was going to do from that point, seeing that damage that had been done. So he needed me to see marketability on logs and how we were going to access it and deal with it.
He showed up and started helping me make a plan as to where we were, how we were going to tackle this.
The timber was salvageable, and we could make revenue off of that. That's what they depended on their revenue to be, and that's what their revenue had been for years.
I can't tell you how many people have come in crying and to hug me, to tell me how much they love the place, and that they're so grateful that I'm rebuilding it. And if I don't rebuild it, if I don't make it a viable piece of timber property where my public can enjoy it, we're gonna lose it. And that's not acceptable.
We knew that there was a stream and that the main heat had come down the stream and done more damage down there. So, we had to contact ODF to make sure how that was going to happen.
It was burned over pretty hard. I've never seen fire cook right down to the edge of a stream, and it was tough to work with.
He had to fall around different trees. He had to fall around structures in here, which means it takes him extra time. He went out of pocket to take care of a lot of the things that need to be taken care of here, and waited. I don't think I wrote him a check for 3 months.
Lule Timber, their cutters came down and helped cut. Carlson Cutting, he brought a machine in, and we tried to machine in the area where it was more critical of the water spigots. Shelters that campers had wanted to try to maintain if possible.
I believe there's 500 campsites there in the park. FEMA contractors are coming in and plotting those out for the cleanup, the debris, burn debris removal, and Aaron had to be tactful as to where he could place his slash piles, because he couldn't just leave that anywhere.
So a hot saw was able to grab and hold the tree and set it into location. So we kind of mixed the two together to try to do as little damage as possible.
I think Aaron took a lot of care to where he didn't just leave the bare minimum. He was out there looking to see, you know, what trees he could retain.
He removed over 2 million board feet of timber from here, leaving anything that was viable.
He's one of those guys, if he sees a tree that is good for wildlife, he's gonna leave it. He's not gonna put it on the ground. And I think he did a really good job.
Aaron's arranged for timber to be delivered in the fall or the spring, another 14,000 trees to be planted here.
The Watershed Council was getting trees and things donated to them, and those were the first trees that we actually started to get for Taylor Park and adjoining landowners in that area. So we were able to get a lot of different varieties of plants, native plants to put back in.
He was helping, working with the Watershed Council and Marion County Soil and Water Conservation to secure seedlings and native plants. When he used one of the tree planters from the Watershed Council on a few of these properties, and when the planters were out there planting trees, I heard that Aaron was out there following them around, making sure they were, you know, planting the cedar in the right spots and the wet spots and doing that work. And that's just something we don't always see, is that level of care.
He took away all of the stress in the removal of the timber and the reforestation.
He has shown innovations with brush treatment, just the mechanical removal of brush or placement of slash in order to reduce the amount of chemicals needed. He's always thinking of other and better ways he can do some things. He's identified some areas with Japanese knotweed and is working with the Watershed Council now on getting that stuff out of there. So he kind of thinks outside the box.
I know for a fact he walked away from jobs that he could have made literally a fortune on. There's guys out there that were just going from place to place to place, getting people to give them their timber if they just take it away. Aaron is very conscientious.
I've never heard a single complaint from a single landowner about his work. Many of the landowners will only have him work on their property.
Probably the most honest man that I know.
I just did what I could, like many others.
Chair Kelly, board members, and State Forester Mukamoto, these are your 2021 Operators of the Year. Do you have any questions?
Okay, board members, any questions at this point?
Chair Kelly, this is Carla Chambers. I don't have a question, but just a comment of, you know, what hardworking, honorable people these are. And you know, it's just an honor to celebrate folks like this that are doing so dedicated and, you know, doing such hard work and just a real commitment to the natural resource and our environmental health. So special round of thanks to all of them.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I guess this is Ben Doimling. I'm going to follow on Carla here. I don't have a question necessarily, but this was fantastic to watch these three videos, having grown up in the industry and actually had the privilege to work directly with Aaron over the years. It's very apparent just the hard work and the institutional knowledge, the local knowledge that you guys have of these landscapes is invaluable. And your knowledge, your dedication, and the really phenomenal work that was highlighted here, it really is an honor and a privilege to celebrate you guys today. So thank you.
Yeah, Chair Kelly, this is Board Member Justice. This is Joe Justice. Again, you know, it you know, listen, first of all, thanks for ODF for putting these together. These videos are fantastic. And I think it gives us, you know, an idea of all the hard work that's going on. It makes me proud to be part of this industry when I see these. Makes me proud to be part, when I was a part of the Forest Regional Forest Praxis Committee and I had the chance to review and to put forward these members of the industry that I'm proud to be a part of that are doing the great work, because this kind of work is happening all the time, every day. There's operators that are going above and beyond on a daily basis. And anyway, I just, these are fantastic videos. I want to make one suggestion, Chair Kelly. It is unfortunate that we're in this situation where we don't have it. Normally we would get a chance to shake these folks' hands and talk to them at lunch and have some interaction with them and thank them personally. You know, we talk about this board trying to get to the field, trying to make some tours. I'm sure when in fact that might happen, but coordination of a tour, maybe on the BC Creek fire and review, I think there could be some real things that could be very powerful to maybe go back to one of these sites, like Aaron Silvernagle. I'm just as an example, Aaron Silvernagle's site, and see that, because I think there's also something to learn as to what happens after some of this good work is done. The results of it a year or two later is pretty powerful. So, but again, I just want to congratulate the recipients and thank them for all the hard work that they do.
Okay, Liz?
Yeah, I just...
put your hand up, Liz.
Yeah, Mike, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Just same with kudos. And I'm reflecting how wonderful it is to... be connected with the land management agency, because they're fewer and fewer, and that what y'all did in representing across Oregon and picking someone, a winner from all these different areas, I think is also a very good thing to do. I think I was really, really appreciated when I looked at the different winners, that they stood up to these complexities and challenges, everything from the streams to the collaboration with power companies to this last one where communities of interest just came forward following a catastrophic event. And sort of that's just the human spirit. And I think that's what happens when you have people of place. So just great, great, loved it. Moving, very moving to me.
Jim, this is Brenda McComb. I just suggest a virtual round of applause for our winners.
Yay.
Well, this is State Forester.
Yeah, I think it's an honor for all of us.
Jim, your audio is breaking up.
Any other comments from the board?
Cal.
Okay, thank you. Well, if there's no other comments from the board, this is State Forester Fukumoto.
Hand it over to you, Cal.
Yeah. running a business is hard. Running a logging business is even harder. And as we all know, logging is a profession which the operators of 2021 awards here have demonstrated at a very high level. And so on behalf of the Forest Resource Division staff and all department staff, I'd like to congratulate and thank you for your exemplary work, efforts, and example. And one of the loggers said that, you know, we want to make sure that we have logging is a good example. And I think, as Joe Justice says, we see that all through the state all the time. and people are going way above and beyond, but you guys have demonstrated that in such a fine fashion. Thank you so much and congratulations.
Right, Chair Kelly, members of the board, State Forester Mukamoto, thank you for the opportunity to discuss the recognition program and share these operator stories with you today. I think we have some photos and some individual recognition we're gonna go to now. There we go.
Now we would like to recognize Tony Hoth of H Timber Contracting for the Eastern Oregon Region Operator of the Year Award.
Yes, congratulations. Thank you for your efforts.
Okay, next is Wally Plickett of Plickett Logging for the Southwest Oregon Region Operator of the Year Award.
Congratulations. Thank you for your efforts and exemplary work.
And last but not least is Aaron Silvernagel of All Around Logging LLC for the Northwest Oregon Region Operator of the Year Award.
Again, thank you for your efforts and your exemplary work. And again, finally, for all of them, your example to our industry.
And this is Brenda McComb. I just got word that Jim Kelly's connection failed. So I'm going to speak for him and for the board and want to congratulate all of the winners for their just outstanding work and really doing outstanding work under very challenging conditions. So thank you very much. And now I think we've already done one round of applause, but maybe at this point we can close out this session with another and just thank not only all the award winners, especially them, but all the folks that were involved in getting these awards pulled together and just such a wonderful ceremony. Thank you.
Thanks. Bravo.
All right. Any other final questions, comments from board members at this point? All right, so as we break for lunch and close out the morning portion of the virtual meeting, I'd like to thank the members of the public, our guests and presenters for their engagement today. To stay on track with our agenda, the board will be holding an executive session at 1 p.m. and then we'll rejoin the public meeting for item 7 scheduled to begin at 2 p.m. As a reminder, the purpose of the virtual executive session will be under ORS 192.660.2F and 2H. Board members, legal counsel, designated staff, and representatives of the news media shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the public are not allowed to join. Board members, please be ready to begin that virtual session at 1 p.m. So if there are any other questions, comments, we can hold them now. Hillary, I think it looks like we're right about on time. But with that, I think we're ready to take a break for lunch.
Yes, board member McComb and chair, he will be joining us shortly. He's working with IT. I just wanted to, again, just say thank you to the operators and wondering if you, Board Member McComb and State Forester Cal Mukamoto would like to extend any opportunity for the operators to say any additional words to the board.
Thank you, Hillary. That's a great suggestion. Comments from the award winners?
Yeah, thank you. And it wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for our crew members, our private forester, and then our state forester, all working together. So it makes it possible.
Great, thank you. Any other comments? Well, thanks again and congratulations to the award winners and With that, round of applause, and off we go to lunch. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you all shortly. Yeah.